has gone very curative. And that's why it's so expensive. That's why I said it's expensive, it's disruptive and unsustainable. I mean the whole healthcare system. So we need to re-engineer the primary healthcare. And lastly, the cost of healthcare. We believe the cost of healthcare in the country is running away from ordinary people, even from those who don't regard themselves as ordinary. And we need to arrest that. The cost of healthcare is just going out of the window and it's worrying us that South Africans believe it's normal. It has to be like that. They believe it has got something to do with inflation. And we argue very strongly that it has been artificially shot up and we need to deal with it. That's why NHI comes in, to try and arrest the cost of healthcare. People tell us it's going to be very expensive. What is expensive is what we are doing now. It's because it's extremely expensive and unsustainable. Whereby in the 8.5% of the GDP we are using for health, whereby 5% is only spent on 16% of the population, and 3.5% is spent on 84%. That cannot be effective. It can't be cheap to have 16% of South Africa's population spending the whole 5% of GDP. In some countries, 5% is for the whole country. But here in ours, it's only for 16% of the population. That's why we need to change it. And that's the gist of why people, how people must understand the whole concept of NHI. So those are the negotiated service delivery agreement. And lastly, so if you look at slide number 10, we are showing all the things we are using, all the instruments. On the far left is the 10-point program. In the middle are the four outcomes in terms of national service delivery agreement. But internationally, we also have benchmarks we must meet, and that is the Millennium Development Goals. Because if you remember, the MDGs are 8 in number, and 3 of them are in health, and it's very important. The first one is the MDG goal number 4 for infant. Child mortality, so not infant, child, which we say has actually taken a knock in the past 10 years. Goal number 5 is maternal mortality, which also has taken a knock in the past 10 years. And goal number 6 is HIV and AIDS, which puts South Africa as one of the most highly affected, if not the highest affected countries in terms of HIV, AIDS, and TB. So all our plans are based on this. The 10-point program, they negotiated the 4 negotiated service delivery agreements and the 3 MDGs. So I'll give over to the DC then to tell how we go about doing that. But before she comes in, Chairperson, it has been a very busy year for us because all these things are put here. The organizing structure of the department that we speak to them because they're not there. In other words, when you look at our DDGs and officials and all that, their job allocation is not strictly according to this. So we spent the whole year with a very reputable company called McKinsey, which has done this internationally, to help go through a process of restructuring the organizational structure, to develop a new organizational structure that will be in keeping with all these things that we have put here. And that structure has just been signed very recently by the Department of Public Service and Administration. We are about to start implementing it. So most of the time we're doing what I could call Ramazama, a stopgap measure to say, look, we've got this service delivery agreement, we've got a 10-point program, but in terms of the organogram, we're doing something else. In the meantime, can you be doing this? But those things are about to be over because a new organogram has been finalized and signed by the Department of Service Delivery Agreement, I mean of Public Service and Administration. We are about to start populating it in line with all these things. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Member. Thank you for inviting us. I'll continue with the next program, which is the first program, program number one. The minister has already gone through the 10-point program and the service delivery agreement that was signed to the president. I would like to just highlight the performance of the department and also refer to some of the areas where performance was not so good. The first is program one under administration. This program mainly consists of the Office of the Minister, Office of the Deputy Minister, and the Director General, and is responsible for providing leadership and overall management of the Department of Health. The achievements for this financial year were in keeping with what was provided for in the NSDA, even though we're in the pivot of reviewing the NSDA because we've drawn the link between NSDA and the 10-point program. Like the Minister has already indicated, that we've also finalized the restructuring of the department to bring about alignment to the service delivery agreement, particularly for those areas where we need to achieve improved health outcomes. For the achievements, we started a consultation process with stakeholders, which is provided for in the National Health Act, the National Consultative Health Forum, and two key issues that came out of this meeting were about the need for us to finalize the human resource for health strategy, and also quality. And these are issues that are already in the 10-point program on which we consulted stakeholders. The second is about the aid effectiveness framework. As you know, development aid and donor funding constitute about 2% of our overall spend. And based on that, we have agreed with the development community that we should align any aid and support that they provide to the country consistent with the principle of the Paris Declaration on aid effectiveness. And we have published this in January this year, and most of the donor funding and development aid has been aligned in accordance with this framework that has been developed. The second area is support for provinces for financial management and around them. And this we did in partnership with Treasury, the Technical Assistance Unit of Treasury, together with the Accountant General. Seven of the provinces were supported to improve, to implement the plan. Equally, the seven provinces that have been supported will also be assisted in addressing the improvement in the manner in which assets are managed, which is a key problem, not just for themselves, but for us, which invariably has been a key concern and that has led to the qualification for most provinces and more recently for ourselves. The problem area is with this qualified audit opinion that we have, which is largely because of the valuation of assets. We embarked on a process in the department after we relocated to a new renovated building. We actually moved from an old building to a new one. We started a process of creating a totally new register because there were a whole lot of assets that were not in the asset register. So for the first time in the department, we've got a complete asset register. But we've gone further. We actually barcoded every single item. And we've gone on to prepare a plan and a training program for all staff members so that they can see assets also as their responsibility. Because the attitude has been that assets are just the responsibility of procurement and so on. So we would like every single staff member to take assets seriously. The one problem that we had in this past financial year is that we could not finish our valuation and consolidation. So we ran out of time and we asked the AG that we would rather leave with a qualified audit opinion and finish the valuation so that we can have a complete asset register that is properly valued and you know exactly what the value of our assets are. And we engaged I came with the support of the district family, and we are going to be doing exactly the same thing in all the provinces, where we will be helping them exactly to do the same.
Mm.
To do a complete asset register, to value it, and to train people so that they can look after their assets. So we're hoping that the situation at NESNAT and also in most of the provinces, because they're also affected equally by the incomplete asset register, will be improved. With regards to matters of emphasis, I think we had just one particular problem, which the CFO will talk to. Under Program 2, and this is a program that is mainly responsible for coordinating a range of strategic national health programs that includes mainly HIV AIDS, maternal and child health, as well as other related activities. There's been a significant improvement in the antenatal services. Basic antenatal care has improved. As you may recall, in the previous financial year, our performance was much lower, with uplift to about 72%. For maternal and child health, we've been able to test most of the women who present in our facility who are pregnant, and 96.9% of these women have been tested. Even though our target is about 100%, I think we're close to that target. And most of the women have been put on treatment. I think it's in the spirit of achieving significant reduction in transmission from mother to child. Because some women are put on nizaratin and combination of nizaratin and AZT, but others who can be treated are put on treatment. It is for that reason that we've seen a significant reduction of prevention of mother to child transmission of HIV from 8.5 to 3.5. And of particular interest is that KZN has shown a significant improvement because their transmission rates were relatively higher. And we are hoping that this figure can go even further so that we achieve the position where no child is born HIV positive. And with these preliminary results of reducing from 8.5 to 3.5, we are quite hopeful that we'll have no children born of HIV, born HIV positive. But what is also important is that we've had instances where children have been exclusively breastfed. It has been a very difficult area because women provide mixed feeding. And it's one of the problems that creates a mechanism by which transmission occurs. And with exclusive breastfeeding and increased reduction of transmission from mother to child, we're hoping that we will be able to achieve our goal of zero transmission and those babies that are born. And in fact, the way we put it, we say it must be HIV-free survival at 24 months, meaning no child must be born HIV positive. But even if they are born negative, they must also survive, meaning they must not die from other diseases, even if they are negative. So that is HIV-free survival at 24 months. We had recently the breastfeeding summit in this financial year, and the significance of that is that we'd really like to make huge investments in promoting exclusive breastfeeding and promoting breastfeeding, which contributes significantly to child survival. There are also other gains that we made, particularly for children, in that our immunization rates have gone up. We're able to immunize children under one, as you may note that honorable members were close to the target of 90%, it's actually 89.4. But for pneumococcal and rotavirus and vaccine immunization rates have also gone up. Is that pneumococcal vaccine? About 72.8% of targeted children were immunized, and for rotavirus it was actually 72.2%. This is a significant improvement from the previous financial year. This is one area where we didn't perform so well in the past, and there's been quite a significant improvement. For preventing other opportunistic infections for those babies that are born, you also have to introduce some prophylactic interventions, and in this regard, most babies have been initiated on cochlear nodules. The highlight in this past financial year was the ACT campaign. It's probably one mass mobilization initiative which is part of the 10-point program of mass mobilization for better health for the population, which I think has rallied a lot of support amongst both various stakeholders, NGOs, private sector, and so on. We were able to test a significant number of South Africans, and the significance of this is that it's always important when people know their status, because it gives them an opportunity to behave in a particular manner. And we must always remember that there's still a lot of HIV negative South Africans. And even from the results of the ACT campaign, what it means is that we must redouble our efforts of putting preventative interventions and efforts. One area where we did not do so well is with regard to condoms. We have really put a very high and ambitious target that we wanted to distribute 1 billion condoms. We distributed 50% almost of that. It's quite a significant significant quantities of condoms. Then for female condoms, I think we're able to distribute about 4.9 million of female condoms, and for us the target was about 6 million. We've actually had problems in these two particular areas. Both these areas, the treasury coordinates the tender. And with regard to the female condoms, you may be aware that we've had a court case recently where the government held was that the president had awarded a contract to a company that should not have been awarded a contract. And we have communicated to treasury that we would like them to resolve this as a matter of agency, because we'd like the condoms to be distributed, because it will affect our preventative and maintenance strategy. The other areas is that because we rely largely on NGOs and communities to share messages of support and to educate the public about preventative measures. Of the community caregivers that we work with, who provide support for people living with HIV AIDS, about 42,765 of these were supported and received a stipend. Uh-huh. And this we have been doing with a development partner, and we have also created a mechanism by which we developed what we call a code of conduct for NGOs on how they should run their projects, and we will be providing training to most of them. There's also a number of step-down facilities that Sabuza has been established. We've established about 97 out of 98. For tuberculosis, we have actually been able to reduce the defaulted treatment significantly. Our view is that we must reduce this number even further. Even though our target is 7%, we have reached about 7.9%, but we can still do far better than that, because TB defaulter rates expect a concern because people present with multi-drug resistant tuberculosis. We introduce a program by which we can detect TB early by introducing the gene access technology. In this financial year, we will be expanding it to the rest of the facility, and we will be able to detect even multi-drug resistant TB early. And as part of our ACT campaign, we're also screening TB cases, and we're able to refer most of them for further investigation. In fact, 1 million people who would otherwise not have been referred if we did not have the ACT campaign were referred. We've also had a training of more healthcare providers in TB management. About 11,300 of them were trained, as well as community health workers who provide support to our community. For non-communicable diseases, this has become a very important area. As you may be aware, more recently, the heads of state met in the United Nations to discuss the NCDs as not just a health problem, but a developmental issue. And for that reason, the first area that we have delivered an important strategy is on the health sector mini-drug master plan. This we did in partnership with social development, and an interministerial committee has been established because the drug problems are not just the health problems, they are social, and they also affect justice and other sectors. With regard to maternal and child, most of the babies were reviewed within six days postpartum, meaning after delivery. We've seen at least a significant improvement. However, we're not happy with our performance in this financial year. We're hoping that with the PAC program, this will improve. Of putting a specialist in district. Equally for maternal services and our maternity services, the perinatal review meeting has not been as we want them. 81% meetings were conducted, and we would like every facility to have regular meetings, review meetings, for any deaths that occur in our facilities. Equally, our primary healthcare providers were trained. We are supposed to have had just about 75% of them. Our target is much lower, it's about 61%. We're hoping with the new primary healthcare approach we'll be able to ask these matters. But also we've seen with the introduction of ASD that it has led to some migration of health workers. Our re-engineered primary health care is going to be a basis on which we bring about improvements, like I said earlier. That includes the implementation of the three streams of teams that have been identified of primary healthcare work-based teams, the clinical specialist team, as well as health personnel led by nurses that are supposed to work at school health services. So, like I said, for male and female condom, I already indicated that there were procurement problems, and we're in discussion with trainers at the moment with regard to this. For tuberculosis, we are hoping that a total of 74 patients, TB patients, that 74%, I beg your pardon, 74% of TB patients that are only completing their treatment. Our target is 80%. We are hoping that we can achieve 100%. Maybe in the next year, we cannot leave any margin of people who do not complete their treatment because of a multi-drug resistant TB. And this, hopefully, with the rolling out of the gene expert technology, will be able to detect as many people as early as possible and provide treatment. Equally for the MDR TB, we hope that we improve this number to 100% as well as MDR TB, because we can't afford to have any patients that present with MDR or SDR not detected. Again, we have started the non-communicable diseases, and we've introduced a new register in the 2010-2011 financial year, the Chronic Disease Management Register. We are still doing analysis because we'd like to scale this up and introduce this to all our facilities. For cataract surgery, we had just about 1,000 operations per million population. We should have reached a target of 1,500. But as we are doing this, the ophthalmic ophthalmology society has also conducted some of the cataract in support of this initiative, but this basis in the private sector setting and not in our private sector facilities. For laboratory services, this is an important area that is supposed to provide laboratory services as well as toxicology results. The Joburg lab has been completed finally, and we've been able to appoint more staff. We've also procured some extra machines that increase our turnaround time. We're hoping that in the next financial year we will reduce some of the backlog significantly. For program three, which is about health planning and monitoring, we have improved a number of areas in that. During the FIFA World Cup, there were some investments made in improving our surveillance system. What we are doing is to integrate all of that so that we have early warning system, particularly in areas where we have a disease outbreak, so that we can respond quickly and adequately. This proved to be quite helpful for the World Cup, and we are using this system also for expansion for ourselves. For quality of care, the National Health Amendment Bill was gazetted, and it served in cabinet, and it was sent to the state law advisors, and it will be ready for presentation to Parliament. The drafting of the bill has been completed. We send it out for comment. We receive comments. We are at the same time preparing the Office of Standard Compliance in preparation for the inspection of our facilities. For National Health Insurance, the draft policy was the green paper was presented to Cabinet and was released for comment. We have also improved our drug stock out for antiretrovirals as well as the TB medication. In the past, we had a significant drugs that were out of stock. We've reduced them to 2.6% for ARV, and for TB, they are at about 5%. But what is of note is that we're also able to reduce the prices of ARV by 2% in the past financial year. And more recently, we reduced the prices of TB and antibiotics by 18%. We hope that we'll be able to reduce the prices of other medications, for instance, anti-cancer drugs, because they're quite expensive, even for the public sector. There are a few problems where we have not achieved our target. accreditation of facilities. We cannot start the accreditation until the bill is made law, and even the establishment of the Ombuds office until the bill has been passed by Parliament. It means that process has to kick in, and we'll be able to then have accreditation as well as the establishment of the Ombuds office. With regard to audit, we have started the audit, but we did not start the audit in the past financial year because the allocations were not sufficient, the budgetary allocations. But to date, we have, as end of September, we audited 2,200 facilities out of 4,210. And we're hoping that by the end of this of the year, we'll have completed most of the facilities. Our estimates are that by end of this financial year, we'll have audited all the facilities. For human resource development, one of the areas that we thought would come up with a workforce strategy, we have presented this to the Technical Advisory Committee of the National Health Council and the National Health Council. And today we have a strategy that was launched not so long ago. And also we had in that period to consult stakeholders, like I said, in the National Health Consultative Forum in November. But we had a total of 183 clinical associates who were enrolled, and most of the universities have increased their intake of clinical associates. For OSD, two agreements were signed in the past financial year. The first one is agreement to the addendum, which is implementation of OSD for doctors, medical specialists, dentists, dental specialists, pharmacists, pharmacologists, and emergency care personnel. The second one is about the allied health professionals. So all these agreements have been signed, and this is consistent with the target that was set. The problem area is that out of 400 hospital managers that enrolled for hospital management, about 143 were trained, and the intake of students was reduced, particularly by both the University of KZN and SOC, mainly because they could not cope with taking more students, because they still have to conduct their own research, they still have to do their own work in training medical students, and so on. So this was additional and over and above what they normally do. And we are in discussion at the moment to look at whether we need a dedicated institute for training of hospital managers. For program 5, we have developed the primary healthcare package, and this was with the support of various stakeholders, including the University of Witwatersrand, and the re-engineered primary healthcare model in line with the 10-point plan that the minister referred to earlier, put emphasis on both individual and family, and it brings back the principles of health promotion, prevention, and rehabilitative services. And it does have some elements of curative services for ambulatory care. So the highlights with regard to construction work and our infrastructure program, the four areas where we started work is for Cecilia Makiwane in the Eastern Cape, Lady Brand in Free State, and Stromberg in Free State.
No.
Free State. Yes, I think it's a typing typo error. It's Free State. Yes, and not DR in Northern Cape. Feasibility studies have been undertaken for the two out of five flagship projects, Chris Hanibara and Limpopo Academic. And transactional advisors have also been appointed for three of the five flagship projects, for Nelson Mandela Academic, George Mukari, as well as King Edward. So all nine provinces have appointed physical assistance, particularly for integrated delivery of infrastructure, and this we did in partnership with Treasury. But out of the nine provinces, at end of the financial year, only three had appointed engineers, but to date, five out of nine have appointed engineers. And we are hoping that it will help fast-track completion of some of our infrastructure projects and improve the quality of the infrastructure projects that are delivered. For health technology, we actually signed a contract with the Tshwane University of Technology for the training of 36 clinical engineers so that they can be available to assist with the maintenance of equipment in our facilities. And in addition, we passed a regulation, the medical device regulation, and we've got a draft health technology assessment strategy that has been produced, as well as the essential equipment list, which we started a consultation process with provinces. With respect to the district health system, we've not reached some of the targets. Of the 40 district management teams that were supposed to be established, we could only get 32 that had a written HR delegation, 11 financial management delegations, as well as only 7 that had supply chain management. So in this financial year, as part of the assessment that we did, we've done an assessment of all the districts for their functionality, for their capacity, management capacity, and so on. And based on those assessments, we're going to go back. And we have just concluded a district health expenditure review so that we can match them with these results. And in building the capacity of our district management team, we want to do that based on the results of the assessment and the audit that we are busy conducting in all our health facilities. It's only in 43 out of the 52 districts that have a PAC facility committee. I need to mention that this obviously will change because the district has been aligned to the new municipal boundaries, so they are no longer 52, they are now 47. And now it means out of the 43, out of the 47, we've got 43. So we'll have to follow up with the remaining four. The supervision rate is still not very good. It's only 68.4%, and would like this to be improved significantly. There were delays in the submission of business cases and the approval submission by provinces. Dr. P. Gatson and Edendale Hospital, Musina Hospital, Bophelong Psychiatric Hospital, Falkenberg Psychiatric Hospital, as well as Tigerberg Catering Hospital. For international relations, we have, during this period, there are 32 Cuban health care workers that were recruited, and that will be supporting Rwanda. And some students were also recruited for training in Cuba, and 8 of them have left. We do have the cross-border initiatives, particularly for malaria and HIV and AIDS, and these include the Lubombo Special Development Initiative, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and South Africa cross-border malaria initiative, and very soon the ministers, 8 ministers will be meeting, I think next week, to formalize the malaria, joint malaria program for the SADC regions that are malaria endemic. 7 agreements were signed with international development partners to mobilize resources, but these were done within the context of the AIDS effectiveness framework. There are some MOUs that are still outstanding, the Sierra Leone one and Cuba. Our Cuban program will also be part of our HR strategy on recruitment and training of some of our students, as well as the bilateral agreement that we have with Cuba. With regard to the National Control Council, we are amending the SAPRA Act so that we can bring about some provision for governance because they are missing. For now, the turnaround time for registration is supposed to be 24 months for new chemical entities, 18 months for generics, and we're sitting at the moment at 32 months for new chemical entities and 30 months for generics. For the national health budget, I will hand over to the CFO.
Thank you, Jane. The information towards the budget of the DOH, the final preparation was 21.6 billion, which was a 3.2 billion increase from the last financial year. Of that, conditional grants was represented 93% of the total allocation for the 15. An amount of 19.9 billion was appropriated for the 5 conditional grants, and I'll show you the expenditure details of that soon. Actual expenditure amounted to 20.9 billion, which was 96.6% of budget, and it represents a 3.4% expenditure consistent with the last financial year as well. Of the unexpenditure of 743, the conditional grant makes up 61% of the unexpenditure. And you will see from the other side that 432 million was not transferred to provinces, and that makes up the unexpenditure number for the department. On the unexpenditure or variance estimations, you will see that the compensation of employees was influenced by the recruitment process. It was long. There was also a moratorium on the filling of positions, and also the new structure, as mentioned, also impacted on the delay in some of the filling of positions. On business services, there was some commitments late during the financial year that could not be delivered on. Mention was made of a delay in the procurement of condoms through the National Treasury process. But of the underspend of 181 million, an amount of 213 was committed over about 12 months. And this is essentially through awards on a national tender and national procurement. On transfer payments, as mentioned, the 452 million was for the revised grant was not transferred to provinces due to lack of spending, and I'll show you the details now. And of the total capital expenditure of the Department of Health, the national 27 million was not procured, mostly on IT equipment and some delays in procurement process. If you look at the breakdown per program, you will find that. The 742.9 million was the total underspend for the department, and it's made up of those programs. 1 to 6, 21 million on administration, 160 on program 2, health and monitoring, 31 million, human resource development, 14 million, health services, 484, and that also includes the 452 not transferred to provinces, and then on the international relations, 30 million. The breakdown for economic classification. I'll explain to you. On the sunrise reasons per program, you'll see on program 1, as mentioned, the 21 million that was underspent against a budget of 282 million. The reason of compensation and vacancies remain consistent over most of these programs, and we mentioned the issue of recruitment process underway and to ensure IT equipment has been procured for the current financial year. On program 2, the main variances or the main reasons there is an expenditure of 160.7 million against a budget of 7.4 billion. The funding for this program increased by 1.6 from the 19 financial year, but an expenditure also increased by about 2% from that financial year. The main reason is the delay in the awarding of the condom tender. Due to non-compliance of the PSNA and alignment with the new departmental priorities. And there was also a late commitment of equipment at the forensic chemistry laboratories. Program 3 showed an underspend of 31.2 million against a budget of 422.6 million. And this budget is an increase of 5% from the 19 financial year. The issue of vacancies remains consistent, as well as the reasons for the underspend of capital equipment. Program fee for the program reflects underspend of 14.2 million against a 1.8 million budget. The funding for the program increased by 97 million over the period, and an expenditure for 19 was 0.04%. Again, the issue of vacancy rates remains consistent in this program as well. Program 5, the program has spent 95.6% of its allocated funds, which amounts to 11 billion. This is our biggest program, and entails all the transfers that get made to provinces. There was also an underspend due to the late implementing of the first facilities audit. As the DJ explained, the audit has now started and expenditure is being incurred in the current financial year. The rebate grant that was withheld amounted to 452 million. And those were mainly due to delays on construction processes and approved projects and inadequate monitoring of projects. And I think we'll talk to it a bit more. The expenditure pattern for the grant is a main constant in terms of percentages. However, the monetary terms have increased by 1 billion over from the 19 financial year. In the national relations, the program has spent 72.2% of the budget, which accounts for a large 17.8% underspent. The major underspend there was the claims that we need to process from the Department of International Cooperation and Relations. It wasn't available to us in time, and we've already had some discussions with the department to ensure that we see those in the future well in advance. The issue on the conditional ground expenditure is reflected there, and you'll see here that the first grant, HVNA, spent 99% of budget with an underspend of 70.3 million. The pathology services have spent 89% of budget. The underspend is 62 million, and this grant is actually in its final year. Next year it will be formed, will have to form part of equitable share allocation, equitable share expenditure. The health professional training development grant showed 100% expenditure in terms of percentages, and 905,000 was underspent on this grant. The tertiary services grant, again 100% in terms of numbers, a small underspend of 9.4 million. But the bigger one is the revive grant. Of the 4 billion that was allocated, 452 million was not transferred, which left available to be spent at 3.5 billion. And of the amount available, 3.1 billion was spent, which equates to an 88% spending of total funds available. And the total unexpenditure, including the non transfer funds, then accounts for 881.9 million of this grant. The detail per province on the HIV grant is reflected there. Of the 17 million that was not spent, 49.2 million was in Free State and 17.8 in KZN. On the forensic pathology services grant, of the 62 million not spent, 42 resided in Gauteng. And small variances were recorded in Eastern Cape and Free State of 6 million. The health professional development grant, as I indicated, essentially 100% spending has occurred there. A small variance at Limpopo. The rebate grant is reflected there, and you know, barring two provinces, North West and Western Cape, everybody has contributed to the variance. Eastern Cape has contributed 192 million to this variance. Free State 133 million. Gauteng 72.6 million, KZN 203.2 million, Limpopo 89 million, Malanga 32 million, Northern Cape 158 million, or the 881 million cents not spent. Interestingly enough, on this grant, only two provinces were granted rollovers, being Eastern Cape and Gauteng, and the amounts were actually smaller than those variances expected there. On a tertiary services grant, as mentioned, essentially 100% spent, 9.4 million was the other spending. Northern Cape showing the biggest variance there of 6.3 million not spent. Chair, you also see in our financials or in our annual report, we also have mention of training entities and public entities. The first one is the MRC, Medical Research Council, which basically undertakes scientific research on clinical health systems. An amount of $276.5 million was transferred to this entity for the year. The NHRS is essentially a laboratory that supplies analytical laboratory services to all our provinces. They in effect self funding, but there is a transfer amount that is done through the national offices, and that amounted to $124.9 million for the year under review. And of that, $47.2 million was for the funding of the Gene Expert TV. That was an additional funding for the National Laboratory Services. The Medical Schemes Council regulates the private medical scheme industry. The amount transferred out to them was $3.9 million for the year. The SANEC Trust was essentially dormant, and they are being paid for from Equitable Share, and they do have an allocation and objective code within the structure of their department. The Mine and Works Compensation Fund is responsible for payments of benefits to miners and ex-miners. The amount transferred to them, the amount transferred to them was $2.6 million, but they do have cash resources, or the value of the fund is estimated at $1.1 billion. And even for this year, there is a process underway to have actually value the fund and have a proper funding for it in the financial statement. In summary, Chair, the on the financial side, the department received a qualified audit opinion, as DG mentioned, the main reason for that being the valuation of assets. There was also some matters of emphasis raised on the restatement of comparative numbers on the leases, as well as the legal expenditure of $43 million, of which about $30 million was for the supply chain of the travel agency. And they've also raised some issues on the predetermined objectives and the reliability on the reported performance information. On the assets, I can just mention that the issue of existence has not been questioned by the AG. As you said, it was the issue of timing and evaluation and reconciliation back to source documents. And currently we're looking at a 95% complete reconciliation of asset registers. We've negotiated with the AG that by the middle of December we'll give them a register, and they'll do a 9-month interim audit in January. We've also put in some mechanism to address the legal expenditure. You'll see that some of the expenditure has come since 2001 too. So there needs to be an exercise of looking at prescription conduct of irregular expenditure by the DG and by the Treasury after we've done some due process, and we've established that due process, and hopefully we'll move on the irregular expenditure as well. The issue of predetermined objectives will be addressed by us and the AG actually tomorrow, that we have this workshop, and basically it will be to marry the methodology of the AG and what we can give them in terms of our requirements and in terms of what we can give them legally. This is the conclusion.
Thank you very much, the honorable member. The major progress was made in key priority areas of the strategic plan. There were also problem areas that I reported on. And we will address some of the problems. In fact, some of the problems have been addressed in this cycle. And we will be also accelerating progress with regard to MDG targets. We have set up an advisory committee that will be reviewing the results of the status of our maternal mortality ratios, infant mortality rates, because there were some data problems. We will share this with you soon. And also where you are on each area of the 10-point plan. Just reflecting on the 10-point plan and based on the minister's presentation earlier. On the second point, as you know, we have the NHI green paper that is out for comment. on quality, we had the bill that is ready for Parliament, but in addition, we started a process of training inspectors. There are about 20 inspectors that have been appointed who will be going out to inspect facilities. These inspectors will be leaving next week for training in the UK. They will be trained by the Care Quality Commission. On overhauling the healthcare system and its management, like I said, we did the assessment of CEOs that was concluded. We also published regulations for the designation of hospitals. And as part of that, we also published policies on how those hospitals that have been designated must be managed and at what level each hospital must be managed. The human resource planning, we published the strategy, then the source for that strategy. And so that's the highlight that I thought I should in the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Petri, and thank you to the CFO. In my perception, as I see the Department of Health, there is quite a big step forward that the department has taken. I commend the department for that, because there were lots of challenges within the department, but the department managed to combat some of the challenges that they have. I will give over now to the members for questions. But I just want to say, besides of all the challenges that we have in the department, I can see that there is really a lot of things that have happened within the department. A lot of work has been done, Honorable Minister. But I don't want to say that all by myself. I will leave it to the members if they did see anything. Honorable Nube, Honorable Blagi, Honorable De Villiers, and Honorable Faba, Honorable Makhate. You'll be the last one to hold your hand. I saw it. Honorable
let me join you on saying there has been a tremendous progress. Knowing where the state of health was or is, we can see the difference that value for people's lives is being enforced. Maybe let me start secondly is to say the National Council of Provinces is composed of delegates from different provinces. And the relationship that this committee is having with the minister or the department, we hear you go all over, but there is no way where you draw in these members that are coming from the 9 provinces. And that leaves much to divide. I just want on the question of the improvement of the management. The pity that I don't have the name now. Sometimes in June, we overtook an oversight somewhere in Limpopo. And we were in one district hospital where there's good management there. You see from outside that Yatiba is life. We went inside, we found the CEO. The CEO knows everything in that hospital. And when she tells you about the challenge, she tells you about the solution. She shows you everything. She did not leave any stone unturned. That this is hospital, I think it's more than 21 or 25 years. But how it is run and how clean it is, you would think it's just 5 years or 2 years. And we commended her for that good management, which she has translated to staff, because we know the attitude of staff in the hospital. However, that is one hospital that is a good example of what hospitals could be. And one member was saying, H, you are doing a good job, but you are just located in the far remote area in the district. At least if maybe you can run the academy, which you said there is a plan, but we haven't moved on it. If maybe she can run the question of empowering other CEOs, we can have differences in our hospitals. So it then goes to your challenge in terms of saying the pace is not, we have not picked up the pace on the training the manager. So it cannot only be at the academy. There are many modes which you can use so that there can be that transfer of skills and change of management.
Is the honourable member not ready to mention the name of the hospital?
I forgot, but I would endeavour to get that hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the other one is on the senior management services, on the performance management agreement. To say, are you having any progress there? And how is it now compared to when the ministry took over? Is there any change, there any progress? And then the other one is on what are the reasons raised by different provinces on the understanding of the grant?
You mean all the grants or which one? The understanding problem, because the grants are mean.
Since one, we're helping understand Eastern Cape and three states. When you go to others, I'll get you the name of the grant.
Okay.
The other one is on the distribution of condoms. I remember I laughed when Honorable Rancho raised last year to say there is an unintended consequence on how people utilize and I laughed at Aman, this is my thing. But the more one reads the paper, the more it becomes a reality. That the girls, they wear the long stockings and they fasten their long stockings using the condom. And the other one that I just recently picked up is that if your CD, the one that you play in dance and jazz, you can also clean the CD with a condom. So the more we distribute, it is not serving the people. We may not blame it to you, but that's an education that ourselves and the community and whoever citizen of South Africa to ensure that they are used for the intended consequence, intended purpose. The other one is on the, it's human resource. To say there is a vacancy average of 33.2, or there was an average of 32.2 vacancy rate.
And also on the skilled supervision, a 37.9 vacancy rate. During 2009, we were marketing and promoting job creation and ensuring that vacancies in health or in public sector is being addressed. Can you share with us in terms of what are the reasons? Are we running short of this year? Or the processes or procedures of advertising, what are the problems that make this high rate of vacancies? And yeah, let me just end
there.
Thank you.
Honorable thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I also want to compare with my colleagues that yes, there is much that the department is doing, and we also see improvement. But on the light of that, I got a few questions on the presentation that you just gave, DG. Across the department, year in and year out, cases of misconduct and fraud always emanate from irregular tender and procurement processes. So I just want to find out from the department, what mechanism does the department have in place to correct this anomaly? And I also want to find out why are there no severe corrective consequences for the corrupt officials which have been involved in this corrupt tendency, and other than expulsion? Because most of them, they get involved in corruption, what they get is an expulsion. No serious and severe consequences in terms of them, no owning up to what they did. I will give an example, comrade, honorable.
You don't have a comrade.
Minister MDG. I know. This one is on record. There was an official in one in the district in the Togota, who actually stole the heavy formula, sold them to a Pakistani shop. He was found guilty, he was expelled by the district. What I see is the rehabilitation of these officials. When they messed up in one department, they get another stage elsewhere. Currently, he's an official in the municipality, the speaker, but they are doing all this corruption within the department and move to another department. That's what I'm trying to say. Can't we have a severe, even if it can mean banning them from accessing other opportunities within the department? It doesn't matter which department that will be. And the second question, DJ, what is the department turnaround time for registration of medication? I just want to find out from you if there is any specified turnaround time on that. And taken from the DG that the department had an ambitious target on condom distribution. I just want to find out, from what you said, I know that is a very controversial question, but which out of the 10-point plan that you have are realistic, measurable, and attainable, and which ones are wishful, so that we are able to see if there is any which we have just put it there to make the document look good and all those things, or is it all of them that
We just want to achieve them all. And maybe, lastly, this is the last question. It's also on condoms. Who monitor the quality of these condoms, particularly the female condoms, which you said the case is poor and all those things, because there is a wide speculation that they are of poor quality. So which actually controls the quality control of these condoms? Because I have seen in newspapers and they say that those female condoms have been distributed by an official company and they are of poor quality. That was my last question.
Honorable de Villiers.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I also want to add that there was very much improvement in the Department of Health.
Honorable de Villiers,
yes.
Before you ask your questions, can I say something?
Yeah.
I just want to commend you in front of the minister that Honorable de Villiers has stopped smoking. So he's health wise. He is very much health wise. So you can hear he's coughing a lot, ne?
Yes.
Because his lungs are not used to be clean. Is that his why? So, but he's health conscious.
Now I'm in trouble. You remember, Honorable Chair, what I said. Our job is long and healthy lifestyle, even for those people who are not willing.
Yeah.
Now, it's one of those who are willing,
yeah.
who are along with a long and healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
We still have got thousands more outside there
yeah.
who are not willing. I'm sure you'll help us to convince them. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My first question is actually around the understanding and where does the provinces and the hospitals fit in. Now my question is directly, which provinces and which hospitals in particular are responsible for the understanding? Because I can pick it up in the report that there are a lot of hospitals and a few provinces who don't give their support to the Department of Health, so that they can get a better financial outcome. So that's the reason why I'm asking that question. And the second one is actually to the department, what programs are actually currently in the department to prevent the underspending on the budget the future year. And then I'm very much interested in the condom tender. You did make mentions about what actually lay the reason for the late finalization of the condom tender. But I just want to find out exactly in which department or who is actually responsible for that delay in the finalization of the condom tender. Then the other question is in connection with the ICT problems in the department you have experienced previously. Now, in connection with the Servita building, is this problem now actually under control in connection with the ICT? And then the training of the managers in the hospital. There was a program in the Department of Health that they planned to train the managers because previously there were problems in connection with the managers. Now my question is, what is the progress on that program on training the hospital managers? And also, senior management services, the performance of the management agreement, how many members of the SMS did actually hand in or was actually going through this performance management, and do you have that information in the department? And about who did not submit that performance management agreement, what is the situation from the Department of Health in connection with those people who don't apply for that application? I think I will take this one to the next round. This one I must ask. There is a 2.6 ARV and a 5% stock out on TB medicine. Now my question is, in the hospital, did that occur? And what is actually done by the Department of Health to prevent it happening again in future years? I think I will stop there on the theater.
Okay. Another thought.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the smoking has got an influence on my colleague because he actually asked you my question. Which leads us to other questions from the office. First of all, I'd just like to congratulate our minister that he's still with us. But I'm happy to. but I must say, we are very proud of our minister. So we are happy that he's still with us. You having us as a subject matter expert with us.
I would first like to just start on the maternal child mortality. And I would like to know, are we winning the race? I'm very worried about it because we are looking at the HIV and TB,
which is one of the main contributions. But, you know, if we look at children, it's the future of our country. So I would like to know, are we really winning this race? On this.
Then my second question is on how much does the hospital manage the training programs cost? And it's not only the financial, but the terms of the time away the managers spend away from the hospital. And I'm asking this in with the next question, which is the management of hospitals. If I look at the Northern Cape specifically, I see that they've got disclaimers from 2009.
Now, that's got a lot to do with your CEOs and your CFOs. I mean, you know, any company is, I'm not going to say it in Afrikaans because it's always a term that I like when they say, it's first prop, not a copa. Now, if the head is not healthy, the rest will follow. And I really do believe that, I first like to know which hospitals, and I don't know if it's the Kingsley Hospital because it's the largest of them all. But I would like to know, are these managers, these CEOs and chief financial officers and the CEO, qualified? And if not, what are we going to do about it? Because I do know that we've got problems in the Northern Cape on that. And I don't know if training programs is going to be the alpha and omega to solve this problem.
And then also on the, then I want to go back on this, on page 144 of the annual report of the Auditor General, the Auditor General states that in points 19 and 20, that the information given by the department was questionable. Now, if you look at that, it says 22 of the selected 27 indicators of Program 2 could not be established. Now, to me, it's a worry if you have 22 out of the 27 indicators that could not be established. And then if you look at point 20, it states that 9 of the selected 22 indicators could also not be established in that program 5. Now, to me, that is a great concern. And I would like to have an answer from the department of that as well. Thank you very much.
Honorable Mahathir.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me join other members for welcoming the presentation. I think
most of the questions have been asked by other members that I wanted to ask. But Chairperson, where I'm seated, most especially because I'm from the Northwest Province, when you look under finances and even on the issue of aid report, that Northwest is doing them well. But what where I'm seated, I'm just asking myself, is it based on the funds spent or actually on service delivery? My reason for asking them is because when you go down to the province, you get the opposite. It doesn't put me that clear we are at the national level. But the reality is that when you go down, this is the opposite. In the Northwest, like for example, Phoenix, that you know very well that you can't even say to a person, go there. They will tell you, you go there, they're not fine. There are no medications. You go to hospitals, you visit hospitals, you go there literally, there are not even blankets. That is why I'm asking, because in a normal situation, I should be the one taking, but really I'm not interested. That is why I just want to know, is it based on funds spent on the service delivery? My second question would be, none of the provinces have implemented the disaster management plan. One would like to know what plans are there to ensure that provinces comply. The last question, not really the last question, but I just want to check, how does the national verify the cost? Because one understands that additionally you get cost from the provinces. But how do you verify that what you are getting is actually what you are getting on the ground? One welcomes the issue of the mini grant master plan. But I have the presenter just mentioning the social development department, which has been taken on board. One would like to know why the education department is not taken. Because to me, I think education also is one of the major economy that can play a major role there. Lastly, the issue, although I think it will be at the provincial level, it is going to be very difficult. The issue of the community care giver is a challenge. You know, there's no consistency in paying the stipend. You know, sometimes they're paid after 3 months, which really is a challenge. I think one would like to check how do you relate with the provinces to ensure that the community caregivers, at least they get that stipend every month, because that's the only sort of income for them. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I just want to share my experiences also as a member of the Select Committee. In 2010, we had a provincial week. There's a program in the NCOP called the Provincial Week, where we go back to our provinces and go around. The delegates go back to their provinces and go and do this provincial program where you meet the departments, the municipalities, and all sorts of people, even the province itself. As much as the Department of Health nationally is doing a good work, I think what is done nationally should relate to what is happening in the provinces. I've already said I'm from Eastern Cape. We had many complaints in 2010 in the area where we were, in Kakadu, in the Eastern Cape. And when we went back there, we find that 95% of the complaints are being addressed by the provincial government in the Eastern Cape. And we commended that because we could see there is work that is being done in the province. The MEC and his staff or and his people that he's working with, they are doing a very good job, whereas there are some challenges that they meet or along the way. It's because they are working with people. I just want to ask a question on the issue of the minister said the structure of the department does not talk to the 10-point plan or the objectives of the department. What I want to know is it going to happen in the national when they change the structure in the national? Is it going to happen in the national department? What about the province and what about the district? So that there is a synergy within the work of the department. Is there any changes that are going to be done by the department, the national department in the provinces and in the district, as much as in the local? Also, Minister, as we were going around in the province, there is, in the same area in Kakadu, there are two doctors that were dismissed or suspended in the area, Dr. Noah and Dr. Newsman. Dr. Newsman, I believe last month when I was talking to the people in Kakadu, he is still in a mental hospital because of the depression and the depression he experienced in the area with the regional or district manager. I think also the way the district managers or the district managers relate to their workers, it also leaves much to be desired, because a doctor cannot a hospital cannot be left without a doctor, because in Johnsonville there's a hospital, and Johnsonville is between Graaf-Reinet and Port Elizabeth. And usually the patients were sent from Graaf-Reinet to Port Elizabeth, or from Johnsonville to Port Elizabeth. It's about 170 kilometers to drive. But now they are sent back to Graaf-Reinet, because Graaf-Reinet works as a central hospital, or whatever term it is called. My biggest problem is the surrounding areas. There's BSN, there's Kriplas, there's State Garden. They all depend in the hospital in Johnsonville. BSN depends in Somerset East, but Kriplas, State Garden depend in the hospital in Johnsonville, and there is no doctor. Absolutely no doctor. There is somebody, a doctor, who is visiting the hospital for once a week or twice a week. And also in the clinics used to have doctors, the two doctors that I've mentioned, especially Dr. Newsman. He was the one who was going around the clinics there. But now the people there are left without any help. They again move from Johnsonville, from Kriplas, to Utnick and to Port Elizabeth. I think that also puts a constraint on the work that is being done in the hospitals and also in the patients. I think that needs also to be taken into consideration. I don't know by whom, by the province or by the national office. Also, you talked about the revitalization of hospitals. I see the percentage that you mentioned here. I'm not sure of the hospitals that you are talking about. Is it the general hospitals? But I'm concerned about the TB hospitals that are not yet revitalized, and yet they are doing a lot of work. Because in Alwal North, where I stay, there's a TB hospital. We call it Isbedlele sa Roma. It was usually under Roman Catholic Church. But I think it's under the government now, where the TB patients are being treated. The hospital is doing very good medically, but the condition of the structure of the hospital, it also needs attention, because really, the medication, the way people are being attended to in that hospital is excellent. but the hospital, the structure of the hospital itself. Then, thank you, Minister. I think I'll give over to the department to give answers. If there is time, we'll have the next the second round. If there is time.
Thank you, honourable members, and thank you for your kind words. We were truly humbled by your comments.
Sorry, DM, could you please give respect to a person who's on the floor, members?
Thank you very much. Let me start by saying that we will follow up with the Limpopo experience, and maybe to say that as a way to prepare for management, and I'd like to maybe call the minister in his presence. He's always said that you cannot workshop people if they don't have basic skills. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how much you workshop them, they don't work. Now what we did, we actually went back to review all management programs that have been provided by universities, any management program.
Mm-hmm.
But we've come to the realization that actually what we have assumed is that if we've done any management training, we necessarily qualify and fit to run a hospital. To run a hospital, you need specific management skills, meaning you need hospital management.
Mm-hmm.
So what you are suggesting with the institute is that you must have a training program so that before anybody even gets into a hospital, they must go through a process.
Mm-hmm.
But they must bring certain skills.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have suggested in the designation and the committee is that there are certain requisites for someone to manage a hospital. You can't just walk from the street into a hospital and run for us and be workshopped and say it cannot be. That is the first thing. The second is that as part of the attitude, because you see, as the minister has identified six core quality elements, but there are broader practice issues that we're looking at. Of the six, one is about attitude, the second is about drug stockout, the third is about the cleanliness of hospitals. And cleanliness is not just sweeping cleaning, it's also about the state of the hospital in terms of whether the gas hands are in working order and so on. Then there's also about safety, because we also want to address the problems of safety of patients and safety of health workers.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at all the six core elements, what is done, and part of the reason we did the audit is because we didn't want to take anything for granted. We do, and it's a way of validating what provinces are saying they are doing. It's for multiple purposes. One is that we wanted to prepare for the Office of Standard Compliance, because we would like inspectors to do, but we wanted to prepare the provinces for that. The second reason is that we, if you recall, for this financial year, Treasury has given us the responsibility for oversight for the health infrastructure fund, meaning over and above the hospital revive, we have responsibility for the health infrastructure fund. So we went back to provinces and said, please give us a list of all the facilities where you are implementing this infrastructure fund, so that we can have a sense of what is it that you are doing. And when the process of matching the actual health infrastructure fund and what the provinces say they are doing, as well as our own audit outcome, so that we can match all of that. And we can go back and say that you should be allocating funds here, not there, because this is where the problem is. So this is the kind of oversight book we'd like to get. But the quality program, I think we agree with you that there are problems of attitude that is identified, there are problems of long queues, as well as the drug stock out. And I'll ask my colleagues to refer to those. The pace of training, we would like to do that. We would like to fast track that. But we also start to say that people who manage hospitals must be adequately and appropriately qualified and competent. the second on performance ultimate, what we've done at national level, and we're hoping that we'll do that with provinces, we started a new program of performance ultimate. We've taken the public service administration guidelines and regulations. But we started an electronic system of performance monitoring. But we went a step further. We take an annual report. We also go back to say that there must be quarterly report, meaning every cluster manager, every DDG must prepare a report on the basis of which we assess them. So we then prepared a delegation, meaning every one of them has received a letter where we say this is what is expected in terms of the annual performance plan. And your performance agreement must talk to what is in the annual performance plan. And we expect that you produce a quarterly report on the performance. But we've also done it electronically, meaning we have an electronic system of performance agreement. But we also recognize that you can't have one standard agreement across all levels, meaning the same agreement for a manager and administrative staff. So we've gone back to public service administration to say, for admin staff, we want to simplify the argument. For our technical staff, we want to also simplify the argument. So we've actually provided training for all our staff members on this new program, and we'd like to share that with you. So all our managers and staff have signed the performance argument. This is for the first time. We're able to train everybody, make sure that everyone has an opportunity for performance agreement, and then we made it electronic. We're hoping that you will be able to finalize that with the DDGs, because it must cascade, but also work from bottom up, so that as the agreements are signed, there's agreement at each level. And once we finalize that, we'd like to also look at whether we can measure the basis of a 360 degree, so that it's not just between the manager and the supervisor and the worker, but also we get input from stakeholders as well as colleagues and peers about the assessment of performance. Honorable member, the understanding of the grant, I will ask my colleagues, but what we have done, as you may recall, Dr. Shaka came and presented our strategy for the appointment of the engineer, but also the creation of the program management unit, so that you can have project management of all the projects. Now, as you may well be aware, public works as the implementing agent is still a problem at provincial level, but we have managed to create some of the program management and support units in some of the provinces, but not all of them. We have noted the problem with condom misuse. Now, because we spend a lot of money with NGOs, we've got a lot of service level agreements with NGOs. Maybe we may want to add in the service level agreement education about condom use. But this may also be improved when we introduce our student health program.
Yeah.
Because it's students and learners who are misusing the condoms, maybe we may want to do that. The vacancy rate, let me start by saying it's for the first time that we have a human resource for health strategy. If you look at the strategy, it's actually come up with a number, but we make a very strong statement in this strategy by saying that actually, if you look at data on our human resource for health for all occupational classes, we've got about 27 occupational classes. We work on the basis of PESA, but PESA is not updated on a regular basis. This is the first problem of our information. So the second is that we have never clarified the problem of funded and unfunded schools. Mm-hmm. Now, what you see at 32% is on the basis of both funded and unfunded schools. Mm-hmm. So what we want to suggest for the future is that we'd like, on annual basis, every manager must have an HR plan. Because what we do, in some instances, you appoint people on contract. The contract ends, you retain the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that for any project, the project gets delivered. When it's done, you close it. It means that you don't need those people for those projects.
Mm-hmm.
So on annual basis, every manager must have an HR plan that talks to the budget. Mm-hmm. So so that we review that on an ongoing basis. So we would like to introduce that as part of our national plan, but also in collaboration with the provinces. Honorable member, indeed, the problem of misconduct and fraud, what is done with the case that we have, the 850,000? We have not only fired this individual, we are collecting. We are going back to collect from this same individual, this fraudulent amount that is lost. So this is a policy that we are introducing. That for any case of fraud, and fraud is not just in financial terms, we've also picked up another one, who forged the city. Yeah, like someone gets appointed in a province and say they want to be retained, so we must counter offer. We want to investigate. This person did not even have the appropriate qualification, so we fired the city. I'm just saying that we are tightening every specific area, whether it be HR or finance, across board. We want a policy on zero tolerance to corruption, so that we have a clean public service. The blacklisting, we started a process of blacklisting the suppliers that do not perform. But at the same time, we have a responsibility ourselves to pay suppliers on time. So whether at national or provincial level, we have to ensure that we have the mechanisms by which suppliers are paid on time. Just as we'd like to follow up on suppliers who, for instance, have their own problems so that we can blacklist them for underperforming. The turnaround times with regard to registration of medicines, we have three processes. One is for factors. Fast track should actually be a year. Generics, 18 months, and a new clinical entity is supposed to be 24 months. Like I said, what we do not have in South Africa is what is practiced in other countries. It's called the stop clock. Stop clock is when you identify problems with a dossier of a company that applies to register medicine. When you send those problems, in that period, you stop the clock. You don't count until the company has responded. So we don't have that clock, stop clock system. It is something that we'd like to introduce the stop clock system. To Mr. De Villiers, the improvement in the performance of the department, this is also understood. I'm going to ask Dr. Chaka to talk to them on some of the measures that you are introducing. And also ways by which we can then understand. At national level, we are getting every manager to have financial performance. We measure financial performance of HR, and performance of 3% of them. So that on quarterly basis, the report must be distributed. On the condom tender finalization, I'm going to ask Dr. Pile to respond and share some of the problems and what is it that you've done with regard to the treasury? ICT problems, we just had recently under the leadership of the Deputy Minister a presentation of the ICT health strategy. And it's still under discussion, we will release it formally. It's an area that requires our attention, and we really need to employ again here competent people. It's one area where we have to make investments because we spend a lot of money on ICT over a number of years. What we have improved though is our management system. We have created a repository on information that should be used as a basis of planning at national and at provincial level. At an appropriate time, we will come in and share the insights with you and also present with you some of the data. And some of the improvements that you are making. The talk out on ARVs and TDs, I'll ask Dr. Anton Kidd just to share with you what we've done. We've actually worked with a development partner to employ pharmacists in every province, in the depot, just to monitor stock. If you check, there's actually been a slight improvement from the previous financial year. But the idea is to actually not have stock out, particularly for TB medicine and ARV.
Honorable Mr. Father, maternal and child mortality, yes, it is a problem. But what I would like to share with you is that because we have not had data and we have not conducted the demographic health study over a period, the data that has been used by South Africa has been actually an average of between 400 to 625 maternal mortality ratio. So what we've done, we've actually called all the experts, demographers, and anybody who produces data on maternal mortality ratio, infant mortality rate, child mortality rate, under 5 and so on. So they've been working very hard, looking at all the data sources, registration data, vital statistics, and they're going to be releasing a report soon. They've been working with State of Africa as well as international agencies that also produce international data on mortality rate. In their opinion is that we have actually exaggerated our figures in South Africa. And they will give us the revised figures as experts, we look at them, it will be the basis on which we plan. Because I think it's important for us to know what is this that our target should be in reaching the target. For Northern Cape, yes indeed, we fully agree that the capacity of CFOs and CEOs is important. In turning around our performance, audit outcomes as well. As we have our CFO here, he will share with you some of the work we're doing with the CFO forum and what is it that we started doing, particularly with some of the problems. And indeed, training may not be a solution, it's also about hesitant and appropriately qualified people. On the indicators, we've actually been debating with the AG about how they evaluate the data that we generate. There are four approaches on performance audit. It's approaches that is also followed internationally, and also when I went for the World Health Organization, we've done some of the performance audit. One is that you use surveillance data for some of the information. You can't get it from a surveillance. The second is that it's campaigns, like we have the EDC campaign. Mm. If you go to a facility, you can necessarily draw data through our district health information system. The third is our source of data, the district health information system. Of course, that one has been a problem over a number of years. But what we've done is train 3,555 data capturers. Now, the problem that we had is that we trained them and they were not absorbed. Now they are out in the field. Now we're trying to see how we can get them back and get them at least work in districts. Even if we can have four of them in districts, just to ensure that they can go back and follow up and improve the quality of data. We're working with State of Africa and other partners to again go back and look at the guidelines. We produce the guidelines on data quality. And this is the basis on which we'll work with the provinces to improve the quality of our data. Tomorrow, we are actually having a workshop with AG because we want to show them how we collect data and how we don't want to influence the AG processes, but we also want them to understand how services are designed and how data flows in the services so that we are comparing apples with apples, not oranges with apples. And I think this is where the discussions are going to have this workshop tomorrow, and we're bringing some of the experts just to show the AG, the service design relative to data flow in every service and across levels, different levels of our services. And for Honorable Makhaba, indeed, Northwest Makhati, my apologies. For Northwest, indeed, I agree with you, it's actually about financial performance. We've had similar concerns from other oversight committees. What we have done in the interim, we've prepared what we call an implementation protocol. And between myself and HOB, I would like them to implement and sign the implementation protocol as a contract on what is it that we are doing in partnership. So it's a process that is just started and we are awaiting the outcome. The disaster management plan. We actually have a committee that is set up. There's a draft document on disaster management. It's still in draft form.
Once it's finalized, we then work on a strategy to intervene. But what we'd like to do is that because disaster management is also driven by COFCA, we would like to align our plans with the COFCA point because there is an interministerial committee that is coordinating disaster management. And for verification of the report, I've already mentioned that we set up a system like that. And I agree that for the new draft master plan, it's supposed to be partnership with the education, social development, and health. Now, as part of the minister's school health program, we are hoping that we have different types of methods who will be working. Some will have a specific, the learners in high schools and in primary, because our drug programs are not just in high schools. We're also picking up programs with learners in primary schools. Community caregivers, this is a problem. It is a problem with petitions written to us about land payment. India said that we've actually developed a code of conduct for NGOs. And we'd like to run a workshop just on that code of conduct so that if we pay them on time, we must pay community health workers. But Dr. Tile will also share some of the information. I would like to also mention that part of the problems that were raised by the chair, yes, indeed, from the audit, we are picking up problems.
Mm.
But the approach that we'd like to follow, we've already spoken to a number of donors. We'd like to set up teams that will go and spend time in provinces, meaning that most of the officials sitting in last month are going to spend time now helping provinces sort out the problems based on the audit outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be able to come back and see the appropriate reports and important issues. I would like to then hand over to our political status of TLA and then in that order.
Maybe before Dr. Flynn, the rest of the team and the presentation, just to say that the district, I'm also visiting district with MECs, and MECs have really been supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I've been to the Amar College district, and indeed, I must confess that the executive team is really trying their best.
Mm.
They are trying this, but they're trying their best.
Mm.
I've been to Northern Cape, and so this Thursday and Friday I'll be in Harris in
Northern Cape.
We don't want to disrupt your meeting.
Unfortunately,
there's also an international conference on infrastructure which has started this morning. I was supposed to attend to it because I was supposed to open it officially. But I asked them to allow me to open in the middle and I want to do so because I had to come here. Yeah. Last time when there was a report in the National Assembly, we overseas, all of us. Yes, for a very important program, and it was painful to read in the papers that were defying Parliament. Remember that we report to you in Parliament. But you also reported the World Health Organization.
Yes.
It's another authority. We reported the president to you. But the World Health Organization is also an oversight committee because health is not just a national issue, it's also international. Because if one country doesn't do certain things, it will affect all the others. So we were in Brazil for a World Health Organization meeting on social determinants of health, which was long overdue, has been organized since 2005. So I just want to report that when we are around, not around, it's not because we are intransigent or recalcitrant, it's just because. Yes, so just like this international conference. But before, because I wanted to be released with Dr. Shaka, yes, I just want to touch up a few things also. Deputy Minister, don't feel restricted to leave any time. Yes, because we'll all get late. Then we'll read tomorrow that the Deputy Minister was late for the conference. Yeah, when I read that story, I said, you can't read them all. Because if we didn't go to health organization, it was going to be reported. South Africa is not responding. The important things I want to touch, DG has really answered most of the questions. But I just want to remind the House that on the day we released the NHI document, we also gazetted what we call redesignation of hospitals. It's a new thing, maybe, I don't know. People didn't notice it because it was overshadowed by the NHI, but they were gazetted on the same day. We have redesignated hospitals into grades. That is a district hospital, there is a regional center, and there's a new role, grade which never existed. It's a central hospital. Because all the biggest hospitals here were called specialists. We have now introduced central hospitals, meaning the 10 hospitals, presently there are 10, which are attached directly to medical schools. It's 2 here in the Western Cape, 1 in Eastern Cape, 1 in KZN, 4 in Gauteng, 1 in Free State, and Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Northwest, they don't have any because there's no medical school. I just want to say in that redefinition, there is that new thing called central hospital. But the redesignation also outlines who must manage a hospital, what type of person. We have actually put the criteria there, which were never there before, that in order to be appointed to manage a hospital, this will be the criteria. The central criteria there is that you must be a health worker. You must understand the health atmosphere. Because one of the problems that there is poor management in hospitals is to pick up people who are highly qualified but in other areas. For instance, we are being criticized for complaining that some hospital CEOs are teachers by profession. I've been criticized that we undermine teachers. But I said, I was taught by teachers with a PhD. That's a very high qualification. But that doesn't mean you could be able to manage a hospital. It doesn't go that way. You have to have a particular background, not only a particular qualification only. Because you can have a higher qualification in one area but not be able to manage it. I think the wrong thing within the hospital management team is that when the CEO, whereas in the past, when they said superintendent, you know it has to be a job. But when the system of CEOs was introduced, there was a thinking that it could be anybody. And it worries us because it doesn't happen in other fields. Yes, if you take a highly qualified doctor or a nurse and say they must go and be a school principal, I'm sure they'll be chased away immediately. Yes, regardless of their qualifications. But that was allowed in health. This redesignation is going to cancel that because it's clear and it's gazetted. But the second thing on the designation is the level. For instance, you are aware that the central hospital was mentioned. I didn't like this Hani Barabana Hospital. It's the biggest in the southern hemisphere. It has got 800 doctors. It is more than twice the number of doctors in the whole of Mpumalanga province. I'm just trying to give you the size. Now, who must manage such a massive hospital? At what level? So in the redefinition, we said anybody who must manage a central hospital cannot be at the level lower than DDG.
Yes.
See, these DDGs I'm hearing here, who are assisting the director general, they are only found in the head offices. Now we are saying they must go down there.
Mm-hmm.
You must find a hospital that is managed by a DDG because it's huge. And all the central hospitals in the Gazette are going to be managed like that. I just wanted to clarify that part.
There's a question on the implementation and the definition of hospitals. The criteria for creating those hospitals, is that obviously to them or is it somewhere else? If you come it out, can you just as a committee just get that information? Thank you.
The other question was about condoms. I want to touch up this issue because some of the statements we made as leaders, let us be aware what effect it will have to the population of Thailand because people are living in the culture. For instance, the assumption that we are distributing poor quality condoms, it can have a devastating effect on the population in terms of using them. Condoms quality, I'm speaking under correction, has to be certified by SAP. South African Bureau of Standards, as if many other products. We won't allow condoms in South Africa which are not certified by the Bureau of Standards as of good quality. Now, the rumors that are spread, they must be proved that South African Bureau of Standards is not of good quality or is not good, but I don't remember that ever being reported. So the issue about this condom tender is a technical issue which treasury, we are dealing with treasury to try and correct because we are feeling very bad about it. But we want to reassure the nation that condoms used in the country can only be used if they are certified by the South African Bureau of Standards, like many other products which you get all over the country. The other question which I wanted to touch, which I thought is important, the DGS answered. The issue of Director General's report is a very good question because it does have 10 years where a department gets a very good audit, but the delivery, because the DG deals with the way money was used and all that. I'm sure it also appears in the Bible where it says that certain talents were given to people. One manager went to. Yeah, I went to hide the money in Simrera. Here is all your money, here. But I've got the way there.
Yeah.
So sometimes, that's why there must be many monitoring mechanisms.
Yeah, yeah.
So the AG is one, monitors the funds. That's not necessarily mean if the funds are intact, then delivery is also intact.
Mm.
That means that. That's why you need another mechanism, like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You also doing what the AG is doing. He's doing his part on monitoring money. You doing our part on monitoring us. The DG has just mentioned another monitoring mechanism. The president has established monitoring. Yeah. So I just want to show that it doesn't mean that one monitoring will cover everything. And the DG's monitoring certainly will not. But it does try. So we are going to use all these other multiple monitoring mechanisms to make sure that there is something. For instance, the good question, ma'am, you asked about being disappointed when you visit our clinic. That's one of the reasons why we are establishing the Office of Standard Compliance, where we are saying at least every hospital must comply with six basic standards: the cleanliness, the attitude of staff, infection control, safety and security of staff, the long queue, drug stock out. Not all the standards, but these are basics which even the nation will know, so that without us being there or without you even going, people are knowing that, will know that they are monitored on this standard. Maybe the DG should have reported that he's actually sending out the first inspector for training in Europe before the end of the month.
She did mention
did
that.
She say that? Okay, yes, fine. They're already going for training as inspectors because Britain has got the Quality Care Commission, which does that. People who, inspectors who wake up any day without announcing and get to a hospital and see that these things are being done. So that when the AG
the
comes to cover money.
Allow that.
Sorry?
The unions will be against that.
Which union?
South Africa. Not in UK.
We don't know any union which will be against that. When we, the bill on office standard compliance, which we are also going to pass, when we were shopping using people from Britain who have established quality care commission, all the unions were there.
Oh.
The first in that workshop, we discussed with them that there's a need for our hospital to be inspected. But at any rate, let me add, we're not doing that by asking for permission. This is about the life of our people, not about any worker. So we are not asking for any permission. But I just want to report that unions were part of that workshop. They also want high standards, by the way. But we are not asking for permission. It has to happen. And that's why it's going to go by law of parliament. Unless parliament says, no, this must never happen, then we'll come and debate with you. Because many countries have got it. This quality care commission in Britain, every hospital must be inspected at least once a year. And then the other ones which are problematic, they keep on going as often as they can. That's what we want to do in our country. The last issue I want to touch up is whether we are winning the war against... No, it's not the last. I think there's one more. The war against child mortality. Yes, the DG has actually defined the parameters through which we are going to do it, but specifically against child mortality, it's not easy to measure whether we are winning the war within a very short space of time. But remember, there are certain measures we took. One of them was the president announced on World AIDS Day, the 1st of December, that all children born in HIV positive, for instance, go on ARVs immediately, regardless of CD4 count. It's because there are about 70,000 children born HIV positive. And it has been proven that when a child is born HIV positive, the chances of dying within the first 6 months increases by 1,500%.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's as big as that. That's how HIV has affected this country. A child who is born HIV positive is 15-fold not most likely to die than the one who is born negative. Now, they are all on treatment, but secondly, because of acceleration of mother-to-child transmission, the DG announced that we have cut that by half. Cutting the number of children who are born HIV positive by half. It's also going to have an effect of child, on child mortality. And KZN has done better than all the provinces, and we are happy, because that's the province where there's most HIV and AIDS. Then the other programs, like immunization programs, they put here about reaching 90% of immunization on measles, rotavirus, pneumonia, all those are big killers. And there was, yes, for instance, apart from HIV, one of the biggest killers is diarrhea. Yes, and now we are immunized against rotavirus. But then we have also mentioned exclusive breastfeeding. Yes, because what did you have mentioned is that we tend to believe in the country that because of high HIV AIDS, when a woman is HIV positive, they mustn't breastfeed, then the child will survive. It has been proven that, yes, they can survive HIV AIDS, but they are killed by other diseases, like diarrhea and pneumonia. That's why now there is breastfeeding, pneumococcus vaccination, rotavirus vaccination, there are many. Now, because we have just started this thing, we need a year or two to measure the effect. And we believe that definitely going to be effect. There's no way they can be. Whether the organogram will be only national or provincial. It has to be from top to bottom, but starting with us. One of the weaknesses in South Africa, which we picked up from many reports, was that we tend to have been running 10 different departments in the country. We now tend to run one department with 9 provinces. And one of the areas that showed that we're running 10 different departments was on this issue of organizational structure, whether we have the same people. Even before the Department of Public Service and Administration passed our organizational structure, we're already trying to be together. For instance, HIV AIDS is devastating, and we're shocked to discover that in some provinces, they can't even point the directorate, which is consistent throughout, which deals with that. We fed with the provinces, we drew a mini organogram and said for HIV AIDS, each province must have a chief director with 4 directors. And we're trying to implement that. At the national level, for the first time, we're going to have a DDD, specifically dealing with HIV AIDS. Then the province will have chief directors. Only Northern Cape, after because of its size, it needs the director, not the chief director, and we've agreed. But there will be an organogram that is consistent.
We have done the same with engineers, PGA to put it that. Health never used to have any person called an engineer. We have got one now at National, Dr. Shaka. She's helping establish them. In all the provinces, 10 will have a team of engineers. We now have the CFO has also got the forum where all the CFOs meet. So we try to move together in tandem. And we believe after our organizational organogram, now that it has been signed, we'll go to province and say, please make sure that you are compliant with all the things that we put in our. Now, the last question, DG has answered, but I just want to give this another view. This issue of inconsistency of stipends and all that, no matter how many times you monitor, it is still going to repeat itself. The problem is the platform through which we deliver primary health care of NGOs, social development, co-ops, stipends, etc. If you look at the re-engineering of the healthcare system, in order to bring this to an end, the DG mentioned three streams of engineering: school health program, the specialist groups, and the ward-based, municipal ward-based primary health care. I'm repeating municipal ward-based for the benefit of the media, because I read in one newspaper that the minister is going to put up 10 primary health care workers in each hospital ward in the country. And I cringed, because that is impossible. We're talking about municipal wards. We're using the mass boundaries. That in each ward, if you can have 10 primary health care workers and they work consistently together, then we'll abolish all these problems of stipends. KZN has actually done that. One of the reasons why they are number one province in reducing mother to child care, they took all these workers. They are found all over with different names. Doctor Porter, primary care workers, lay counselors, some on stipends, others on salaries, inconsistent. So this primary health care in engineering wants to consolidate so that we have got a leadership of people who do primary health care, and they are on a consistent scale, and their criteria or how they are choosing. KZN is taking the lead. They have not yet arrived where we want, but at least they picked them up. They are all coordinated in the premier's office, and that's why the advances are so big. We only want 40,000, by the way, if it's 10 per ward, because there are about 4,000 wards. But the audit done by Dr. Pine here, who will explain later, is that we have got 78,000 people doing all this work in South Africa. Yes, but you don't see the results. Brazil has got only 30,000, but the results are good because it's well structured. So we are trying to well structure it. Once you do so, this issue of stipends, it's true. When province run out of money and the budget is getting hot, they look at who they mustn't pay, and this becomes the easiest target. You can't transfer money to an NGO when you are running out of money. Thank you. Yeah, so Chairperson, remain answering the rest. Otherwise, our international guests.
Yeah, will just answer it.
Sorry?
He's with you. He's living with you.
Yes.
Yes, I just wanted to answer one of your questions.
Yes.
Very quickly, honored members, thank you, Madam Chair. The problem of under expenditure on the ground, as you know, is a chronic one, and since 2007-2008, this problem was persisting each and every year. The amount of under expenditure was doubling, as we discussed it last year also. But the point is, the way that we are trying to tackle the problem is not only the national department, it is also with our provincial department of health as well as the departments of public works, where, for instance, they are delaying 634 36 projects, unfinished projects with a value of 2.1 billion rand. You know, these are the type of challenges that we are having. Now, in terms of the mechanism that we have developed in order to tackle the situation and improve the infrastructure service delivery, we put a program in place that is called RUSM, Infrastructure Unit Support System, which has got five major focus areas. I wish we had more time to enable me to discuss in some detail about each of these work streams on that. But the one that is repairing and assisting the provinces, we call it the whole issue of PMSU, the project management support unit. what we have done, we have evaluated the delivery capacity of each and every province, and we have prepared packages in order to remedy their problem of delivery or deficiencies in terms of delivery. Some provinces, the package is much more involved because we have to get involved in more detailed fashion, but in some areas like Western Cape, it's mainly in a monitoring way. The main reason being, for instance, the number of professional people, for instance, that are in the Western Cape are, you know, more than the combined number of professional people in all other provinces. That type of problem that we have to tackle and assist them. So what we have done, we have hired the service of more than 23 experts in various fields of building infrastructure, in the planning and design field, in procurement field, in construction field, in maintenance, different type of maintenance field, for nursing colleges, which is a national project, public-private partnership type of project that we are having, running five of them at pilot, capacity building as well as a strategic project management level. You know that we are getting engaged with this. They have started their duty beginning of September. We are engaging, making engagement plan with each and every province as to how we can improve the situation. As our DG mentioned, the number of our managing engineers in the provinces now has risen to 5. One other one we have made recommendation. We are hoping the 6th one will be appointed soon. But 3 of them in the rural, especially rural provinces, we are facing some challenges for that appointment. Over and above the PMSU unit as well as our managing engineer, we have appointed for each and every province the IT transaction advisor, the technical assistant for each and every province. But the fact will remain, we need to attract the support and collaboration of our Department of Public Works. Otherwise, our efforts will not be fully realized in terms of infrastructure. That is the effort that the department is trying with the leadership of Honorable Minister and guidance of our duty to resolve this problem as a matter of emergency. Then we will be able to implement and deliver infrastructure to the best of our ability in action rather than on paper.
Thank you, sir. I just want to say thank you to you. Thank you to you, Minister, and your department as a whole. We are proud of the work that you are doing as this department, as the department. We just hope all the departments will follow suit to what you are doing, but we hope so with working together. We can do more in service delivery, not just everything on paper, but in the people should feel that the Department of Health is there. We thank you, Minister, and I think we should release you. I could see when Minister Chap was talking, you were like wanting to spring, and I was very much obligated. And so we excuse you, Minister, and Minister. Mr. Pillay?
Honorable Chair, honorable members, just to talk about a few things. I'll start with TB. TB hospitals are also part, as are psychiatric hospitals, are also part of the revitalization program. With respect to TB, in the last 3 years, we built 9 new units for drug-resistant TB patients in 7 provinces. So we have not neglected the TB hospitals, but clearly we need to move a bit faster so that we come to all TB hospitals and psychiatric hospitals more quickly. On the condoms, we have been working with Treasury to try and fast-track the purchase of condoms outside of the tender using the TFMA. So I think we will, in the next few weeks, be able to improve on the access to condoms. I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thanks, Yasha. I've only got one issue to deal with. The issue of the CFO forum. Yes, we do have a quarterly sitting off of all CFOs at the national level, with all provincials. I think the bigger picture is to encourage a peer learning process.
Mm.
We've established that, and one example is the issue of the KZN that has sort of turned around their provision. We've analysed what they've done, and we present that to the DG and the minister, and to also replicate that in provinces where we can do that. The other issue is just on the financial management improvement plan. We do have an diagnostic report of all provinces. We've identified one area as assets that's quite common to most provinces. We've secured funding for three provinces, the Cape, Mpumalanga, and KZN. And we also have a program, similar program in Gauteng province. Funding is always an issue, but I think we can establish some baselines there. The other issue, or two issues more that we're looking at closely, is analyzing of the audit outcomes of each province. We've got an analysis done per province, per instance of matter. And we also engage the AG to ensure consistency in terms of their findings. We find that there are some inconsistent findings on revenue, for instance, revenue receivables, and we're ironing out that with the AG. And the last thing is the whole issue of analyzing the conditional ground expenditure, as we've been doing now. And I think it's important, especially for the National Accounting Authority, because a lot of the DORA requirements based within the National DG in terms of the transfer funds, the withholding, and the allocation of funds. So that's also another issue that the court looks at. Thank you.
Dr. Pide, on the draft program?
On the issue of drug stockouts, the percentages that are reported, the 2.6% and the 5%, those relate to stockouts at the depot level. So remember that the cause of stockouts is not necessarily a fault of the province. It can sometimes be a fault of the supplier who doesn't supply on time. What we do is we monitor stockouts at the level of the depot. And if there is a stockout at the level of the depot, it doesn't necessarily mean that the patient goes out drunk, because what happens is that there's a buffer stock at the level of the facility, or there should be. That's the general principle that applies. So we monitor that to make sure that there is stocks at the depot, and where there's a stockout, we then try and attempt to get stocks from other suppliers, particularly where the tender is awarded to only one company. The problem arises is where that company has a supply problem, there's a problem in the plant, etc., and they're unable to supply. We encourage them to report to us as soon as they have the problem, so that we can then go to another supplier quickly and get them, because generally the lead time to get another supplier to provide drugs is 6 weeks, because there's a lot of processes that need to happen in order for that to take place. So we attempt to do that. So there are people based in each facility that report to us on a weekly basis around what the stock levels are. So we're now trying to get a sense, an early warning system as such, to say, well, stocks are running low, we ordered 100 units, they only supplied at 80. We can go back to the supplier and say, what happened? Are you having a problem with the factory, or what seems to be the problem? Obviously, the problem on the side of the provinces where they don't pay on time is a more difficult one to deal with, because suppliers, particularly the smaller ones, they don't want to supply anymore because they're not being paid. We need to persuade the province to make sure they pay on time.
Thank you. I'll allow the last round. I'll start with myself. I'm abusing the platform, okay? Honourable Civilius and Mahathir.
I've got a question just for me. Chairperson, we visited KwaZulu-Natal, that was 2 or 3 weeks ago. And at the Crown Court Clinic, we find that the drugs are actually sold on the floor in the boxes. Just that the DG can take note of that, so not waiting until we are going to take you power to the people. So maybe you can address that problem. And then previously I find out that the hospitals send out each and every month a statement, while you as a member of the medical went into as an outpatient to the hospital, but the medical aid did already pay that statement and that amount to the hospital, but you receive it for 6 months after, and each and every month that amount will go out under administration, just to follow that situation up. So there can be a lot of saving under statement sent out. And then the last one, that is a question on the chairperson about the students, the 80 students who went down to Cuba for training as doctors. How many of them are still in the project, and what is the success rate of them? Thank you.
She went to hospital in the, you know, she was fine,
referred by the clinic because of the conditions by them, and the doctor refused to attend to that. As I'm talking to you, the child is blind, paralyzed. I took the matter with the MEC that while we are still busy with the department is busy with the investigation, can something be done to this project? Because to me, it's negligence from the side of the doctor who got the report from the clinic but decided not to comply or to do what the clinic is requested to be done. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable. Members will also consider that our time, we've got time limitations because we need to with another item in the agenda.
Chairperson on the last one. Let me just add on the piece of termination that this overlook will cost us. There was lesson. The new hospital, so-called state of the art. However, there were lots of rains. I think last year, and people were flooding in the hospital. Patients were flooding. Electricity tripped and all those things. So if not any province has responded to that, I think that's a risk that you're doing. Let me also commend the DG on the program. Commend the DM on the program of visiting districts. Last month we were deployed at Msinga. At the end of our visit, we went for discussions on the areas that we picked up. So it means the Umzinyathi district. See, the key issue there, which needs an integrated plan, is that I don't have numbers in terms of how many the population of that of the Umzinyathi, but it's a highly rural area. And the Inkosi there told us that unfortunately, children when they pass matric or drop out, there's nothing to look at. There are no role models, it's rural. Kids go for, they fish for marriage. And that is why there's a lot of table there. Because there's no college, no FET college. There's no university, and no skills, whatever, where they can go to. If you look at the many hospitals in the district, Gutu, Dandi, Singa, Kranskop, you name them. However, maybe from your side, as we would be talking to education or we'll be raising this thing, from your side, can you also contribute towards adding value to these learners? You talk about guest skills and all those things. We can recruit them, but at least they see that, okay, there is a route where we can go to. I think also the question of the extending of the time for clinics. In Gauteng there's a great progress, but we have not shared with us in terms of how far is that program progressing in other provinces. Thank you.
Thank you. This is only one thing that I did not hear you mentioning. It's the fight against I don't know how are you going to do it, the cancer. You know, cancer is one of the diseases that kills people, and in most of the time it's overlooked. But I think it also contributes in other medical issues with the people. I know there is no specific research that shows what when a person has got a certain type of cancer. There are a lot of things that relate to that cancer. So I just wanted to know, do you have a plan or a strategy in educating people about cancer, or are you going to leave it to the NGO? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. We've noted some of the statements. For those facilities, where you've identified problems, what you would like to do, because we are also doing all facilities,
And let me mention that part of the it's a very detailed audit. It also includes safety. And when we talk about this, it's safety overall. We're looking at every thermal safety aspect for both health workers and patients themselves. And we can share some of the stories with you on the findings, how the with the security and services are. We are also looking at the reasons why there's lack of performance. The security services are actually outsourced in some of the facilities, but the hospital CEO does not have the contract. Now they can't hold the security company to perform because they don't know what the terms are. So we've got all of this information, and we're going to act on the basis of it. We've actually come up with a security plan. And remember, security is not just physical security for people. It's about theft of information and also theft of equipment and so on. What we've seen in some of the facilities is that there's also theft of files because you're producing a very interesting trend in South Africa called litigation. And South Africa is becoming a litigious environment, I think, the U.S. And based on that, some nurses are involved in a scheme of getting files to share with the lawyers so that they can see. So we're also tightening that as well. So we're looking at security in this project and the implementation of MISA. The 80 students who went to Cuba, remember we've been sending students on annual basis. We now have about 257 students who have graduated and who are now working in our facility. The manner in which the Cuban program has been designed is that there's partnership between the Cuban universities and our universities. When they finish in Cuba, they still do 2 years in South Africa. After which then they graduate. So we have a total of about 267 who have graduated from Cuba, who are now working in our facilities in South Africa. The question that is asked, and is also part of why we came up with the strategy, is whether, because you see what South Africa has done over there, over the 16-year period, we produce exactly the same number of medical students. Irrespective of the high diagnosis disease and the increased demand. And what you are saying is that the medical schools produce 1,200 doctors, and we have more. So they must increase their capacity so that we can up the intake of our medical students. And it goes for other occupational classes as well. So the question is whether do we send more students to Cuba or do we increase the capacity of our institutions? And it's a question that is addressed in the strategy that is addressed. On the drug stock, I agree with you, ma'am, that you can't just have the monitoring at depot level. So what we probably have to do is to go back and look at whether we need to then, these pharmacists that have been appointed in depot, get them to then go and visit facilities and see whether the deliveries are on time and what the problems are. I will follow up with Dr. Pillay. Oversight in big and small hospitals and some of the problems in small facilities. I agree. We are actually taking up those problems from the audit. And what we have seen, and some are disturbing, in a sense that we've identified some facilities that have not had electricity for 3 years. Now, because of lack of oversight from a district, there's not been follow-up, there's not been, even if there's a problem with the water supply, there's no support from the district office. So the strategy that we want to follow is to build the capacity of our district, maybe move the resources to districts so that at least they can be strengthened to have oversight even to smaller facilities. Now, remember the nurses used to visit some of the facilities for oversight. Now, one of the problems that you picked up is that some of them no longer have transport.
access to transport. So we would like to bring that back so that they can visit some of the facilities. We set up a task team of medical legal experts, and we are going through all the provinces to pick up all the litigation cases. Actually, government is going to lose a lot of money just from litigation due to negligence. We estimate the figure of about 10 billion just on this. Quite a lot of money. And what we have, we actually receive on weekly basis hundreds of correspondents, people complaining about what has happened to them in facilities. So we've set up a team of experts who are going to go back. We write back these individuals, we write back the provinces, but we also set up a team that will go back and see whether there's been some compensation for this individual. We're looking at mechanisms by which there can be a compensation mechanism, because we've seen with RAF that if you allow this to go the legal route, the lawyers think they get more money, the victims end up with very little. So we just came back from the UK. They've got what they call National Health Service Litigation Authority. What the litigation authority does, they collect all the data and they look at what is it that is reimbursable, what is it that must be compensated, and what is it that the lawyers, and the only way you can succeed if you cap the amount that should be paid to lawyers. Because what we've seen, even with RAF, is that most of the money goes to lawyers, and those who have suffered injured and harm get the litigation. So we're doing that analysis. We've actually analyzed that most of the cases that we have are in often dying, in spinal surgery and orthopedic and neonatal cases. So it's actually those four categories, and particularly those where deliveries are made. So we have a sense of where the problem areas are. Disaster management indeed, actually we saw this even during the strike, not just floods, even during the strike, it was a key problem. It is for that reason that we've come up with a strategy, and we'd like to finalize this to the provinces as soon as possible so that we can implement our disaster management plan. The districts that you refer to where there are problems, like the Indiana district, we would like to go back there and see what is it that we can do with other sectors so that it's not just health.
Yeah.
If you allow us, we'll also share with you the declaration that was passed in Brazil on social determinants of health. I think the statement that is made is that health alone cannot solve some of the problems, and that health should actually serve as a safety net where other sectors will fail.
Yeah.
So if health does not respond adequately, it means then you are failing, because other sectors, if people go out of employment, they're going to depression, health must be there.
Yeah.
If transport services are not good, and our roads are not good, we end up with accidents, health must be there to respond. So where other sectors say health must respond and serve as a safety net. So the document of social determinants of health, we share that with you, but the minister has signed agreements with the other ministers, but in fact an implementation with each of the other departments. And with regard to cancer, Dr. Pile will mention that as part of the NCD, we've actually identified the key categories. Cervical cancer is actually largely driven by HIV. Most of the women are presenting with cervical cancer. We also have an emerging problem of breast cancer. And even amongst African women, it's becoming a very common problem. Prostate cancer is widely reported in the country. Lung cancer, because of its association with tobacco as a risk factor. So we've actually, and colon cancer. Okay. So those are the key cancer problems that we've identified. But we've also seen that there is a cancer among children, and we'd like to also prioritize it. So we are working with the institutions to finalize the cancer register. As we know that we have and the National Institute of Occupational Health, we are finalizing the cancer registry so that we know what the diagnosis is, and then we can then intervene. But
we don't want to wait for that work to be concluded. We'd like to start working with women on survival screening, as well as some of the breast cancer initiatives, and we'll be working with the civil society that we are driving to such, and as part of the NCD summit and the outcome of the NCD summit. Thank you very much.
When I'm looking at the members, they look satisfied. I think there is nothing that has been left except the second item on the agenda.
Yeah.
We thank you, Department of Health. You've been working with us very good during the past years. We hope our working together will develop more and more. And we thank you for the good work that you are doing. And we also acknowledge the challenges that you are confronted with. But keep up the good work. And you are not doing it for yourself, you are doing it for the country. Thank you.
Thank you.